Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter number 9. Revelation chapter number 9. We will read from verse number 1. Revelation 9, verse number 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. It signifies a fallen angel. When it talks about the falling of stars, when you see the book of Revelation chapter number 12, it says the dragon dragged 1/3 of the stars of heaven down to earth. So it signifies the 1/3 of angels joined with Satan in rebellion. So that expression used in Revelation chapter number 9, it's about a fallen angel. It says, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. He had a key to a location. He had a key to something called as a bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit and smoke arose out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Underline that scripture. They were allowed only to harm those who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them. For 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. And they will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like the horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth, and they had breastplates like the breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of the chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. The power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. Okay, there is something happening when the fifth trumpet is blown. Okay, so last meeting I told you we saw the revelation and the meaning of the first resurrection, the second death, and what is the timeline of the rapture. What is the timeline of the rapture, and how Christians are deceived big time with something called as pre-trip, post-trip, mid-trip, and many other theories that have come up which have no basis in the scripture. All those theories that those people are teaching, it's not at all rooted in the scripture. But we saw last time, and how I told you and explained you from the scripture about when the rapture will take place. There is the seven seals, then there is the seven trumpets, and there is the seven bowls of the wrath of God. I told you the seven seals is the manifestation of the mystery of Antichrist. And after that, there is the blowing of the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets are the completion of the mystery of God. When the seven trumpets are blown, it is taking mankind towards completing the mystery of God. What is the mystery of God? The Bible records mysteries. There is the mystery of God. There is the mystery of Christ. I have already taken a detailed series on the mysteries that you can find on the YouTube channel. But the mystery of God is when all the kingdoms of the earth, all the dominions, all the things of the earth are reconciled back to Christ. So In that, the seven trumpets are blown. After the mystery of God is completed, there are the seven bowls of the wrath of God that will be poured on the face of the earth to torment those who have not repented, to torment those who were not a part of the first resurrection. Because by that time, the first resurrection will already have has taken place. That is the rapture. Okay, so in the bowls, in the blowing of trumpets, when the fifth trumpet is blown, the Bible says that a angel falls, a star falls down, and the fallen angel has a key to the bottomless pit, and the bottomless pit is open, and from the bottomless pit smoke arises, and an army of locusts, weird locusts, who have the power of the scorpions, arise from the bottomless pit. And it says the angel, the king, the master over the spirits is called Abaddon. The angel of the bottomless pit. In Hebrew, he is called Abaddon. And in Greek, he is called Apollyon. What is the meaning of Abaddon in Hebrew? Abaddon meaning in Hebrew means destruction or a place of destruction or the realm of the dead. This is the plain meaning in Hebrew. Destruction or a place of destruction or the realm of the dead. And now let's go to the meaning. What is Abaddon? So we are going to see what is Abaddon. What are the meaning of Abaddon? Abaddon is both a spirit, I mean a fallen angel, and also a location where the fallen angel is there. So we will go step by step to see what is Abaddon. The first definition of Abaddon is, Abaddon is the fallen angel. Write it down. Abaddon is the fallen angel that births Babylon and is the platform on which Babylon the harlot is founded. Abaddon is the fallen angels. People of God, are you there? Say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. You know, amen. If the group is cold, I will just go on teaching, and I will not say anything. I will just go on teaching.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Abaddon is the fallen angel that births Babylon. It has what? Births Babylon. When I'm saying births Babylon, I'm talking about the seed of the serpent. It has the ability to reproduce of its own kind. The fallen angel of Abaddon. Yes. The Bible talks about that the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman will crush. So the woman has a seed. The seed of the woman, it talks about, is the seed from God. And there is also a seed of the serpent. So I told you many times, the human beings that are around us, among the human beings, there are also the sons of the vipers. There is also the seed of the serpent living among us. Okay? So this is where it came from. It came from the Abaddon. It came from the fallen angel of Abaddon. Write it down, and then we will go into the explanation from the scripture of what I'm the definitions I'm giving you for Abaddon. Abaddon is the fallen angel that births Babylon and is the platform on which Babylon the harlot is founded. Abaddon is the fallen angel that births Babylon and is the platform on which Babylon the harlot is founded. It's the platform, the beast on which the harlot sits is the Abaddon. Second definition for Abaddon. Abaddon is the location, the bottomless pit where God arrests and keeps fallen angels and even Satan. If God needs to arrest angels and keep them in a place, the place is called Abaddon, which is also called as the bottomless pit. Can you literally understand what is a bottomless pit? A pit which has no base. A pitch which has no base. That means if you are put in that pit, you will always have the sensation you are falling down because it has no base. Have you seen those movies where a black hole is opened up and then it sucks in the people and they go into a trance. They go falling down in a dark pit and go falling down in a dark pit. That is the bottomless pit. It has no base whatsoever. Like you are now where you are. You are sitting in your room. You are sitting in on a chair. Why you are sitting on a chair? Because there is a ground down your chair. And you can sit on the chair. You can find stability. You can stand there. But bottomless pit is a pit where there is no ground, no base. And the angels that are arrested in that pit have a sensation of always, they are in a falling state. They are in a falling state. Remember Jesus said, I see Satan falling like lightning. So bottomless pit is a location. If anyone is put in that bottomless pit in Abaddon, they are in a falling trance because there is no base there. So they cannot rest their foot and stand, or they cannot sit on anything. They will have no rest because the pit has no bottom. Do you understand that? The pit has no base. They are always in a falling state. Abaddon is a location. The second definition of Abaddon. Abaddon is a location, the bottomless pit where God arrests or imprisons fallen angels and even Satan. The third definition of Abaddon. The Antichrist, the beast of Revelation chapter 13, which is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the offspring or the son of Abaddon. What did I say? The Antichrist, this is the third definition, or the beast of Revelation chapter number 13, is the offspring or the son of Abaddon. The fourth definition of Abaddon. Abaddon is the fallen angel of Abaddon is the destroying spirit which wants blood of mankind. The fallen angel of Abaddon is the destroying spirit which wants the blood of mankind, but can only operate in the limitation that God has set over them. The spirit of Abaddon, the fallen angel of Abaddon, is what? Is the destroying spirit which wants the blood of mankind, but can only operate in the limitation that God has set over them. The next definition of Abaddon. Abaddon is the fallen angel that are responsible to birth the seed of the serpent with mankind. Abaddon is the fallen angel that are responsible to birth the seed of the serpent with mankind. Are we together? So I told you around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 definitions of Abaddon. 5 things that is Abaddon. So in those 5 definitions, you will see Abaddon is a fallen angel, and Abaddon is also the location, the bottomless pit. And the king of the bottomless pit is called Abaddon. And the location is also called Abaddon. Okay, before we go into the revelation of those 5 definitions from the scripture, let me give you some scriptures in the Old Testament which talk about Abaddon. Job chapter number 26, verse number 6. Job chapter number 26, verse number 6. Hallelujah. Job chapter number 26, verse number 6. Sheol is naked before him, and destruction, that the word destruction is Abaddon, has no covering. Destruction has no covering. Abaddon has no covering. Abaddon has no base. It's an empty, hollow, black space. Okay? And there are other verses, but let's come to the explanation of the definitions I gave you for Abaddon. So, the first thing we will start off with is Abaddon is the spirit of wicked fallen angels. Abaddon is the prison for wicked fallen angels. Let's start off with that, and then we will go from there to the next definition. Let's go to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 1 to 3. Revelation 20, verse number 1 to 3. When I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of the old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, that is Abaddon, and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. You see that? This is the verse we saw last week. And when the false prophet and the Antichrist are thrown alive into the lake of fire, after that, the devil has been imprisoned, has been arrested by God. And an angel comes and ties up the devil and puts him where? In Abaddon. So it's a place where when God does not want a fallen angel to deceive the nations, when God does not wants to arrest a fallen angel, he will tie him up and put him in Abaddon. That is the location where he arrests the fallen angels and put them in Abaddon. Do we see that? Hallelujah. And you know how he can arrest the fallen angels and put them in Abaddon? It's by the prayer of the saints. If we don't pray, it's by the wisdom of the saints. It's by the prayer of the saints. He's able to arrest angels, put them in Abaddon. If the saints don't pray the word of God, the saints don't seek the Lord and involve themselves in the assignment of the Lord, the fallen angels will roam like that. Why Satan is arrested in that scripture, chapter 20, because you know what? Because the saints prayed against Satan. The saints prayed against his kingdom. That's why those things in Revelation is starting to take place. You know, these things in Revelation corresponds to the things that Daniel wrote. And it was when Daniel and his friends were praying, the revelations of the book of Revelation that John is seeing came to Daniel. And Daniel saw that, you know what? Daniel was praying for the deliverance of Israel from Babylon. He was praying for the end of the captivity, for the people of Israel to come back from Babylon to the land of Israel. And then God showed him, when he was praying, "Oh Lord, bring us back, we end the captivity," God showed him the rescue from the real captivity will be done by the Messiah, Jesus Christ. When he started to, the angels came and communicated him revelations about the Messiah. Angels came and communicated him revelations about what is going to happen right here, what we are reading in the book of Revelation. So what happened? What does that mean? The prayer and the intercession ministry of Daniel initiated the things that were in the archives of God, which needed the prayer of the saints and the utterance of a human being to bring it to manifestation as a revelation to the heart of a prophet. And when the heart of the prophet knows the revelation and they start to pray accordingly, the things that are in the archives of God starts to manifest. No purpose of God can be manifested on the face of the earth without the utterance of a praying intercessor, without the utterance of a praying priest. That is the significance of priesthood ministry. That is the significance when you wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. God starts to show you, God starts to reveal to you and transfer to your spirit man the things that he wants to do on the face of the earth. And the most important thing that he wants to do on the face of the earth is to be done away with Satan. Do we understand that? God can arrest fallen angels, put them into the bottomless pit, because of the prayer of the saints. So do we see that in Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 1 to 3, that the Satan was arrested for 1,000 years. And where he was put? He was put in bottomless pit, in Abaddon. Okay, now someone opened Jude chapter number 5. There is no chapters in Jude. I want you to open Jude verse number 5. Someone open Jude now. Who can read for me? Sister K, read for me. Jude chapter number 5. Jude verse number 5 to verse number 8. Jude verse number 5 to verse number 8. And who else? Yes. And someone else has to open 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Verses 4 to 11. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Verse number 4 to 11. Whoever wants to open it. First K, Sister K will read. Jude.
Okay.
verse number 5 to 8.
5 to 8. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Number 8, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries.
Okay, keep that in mind. If you have heard that verse, keep that in mind. And someone read 2 Peter chapter number 2. Come on, people here, are you with the Bible here? 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 4 to 11.
For if God did not spare sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord.
Mm-hmm. If you heard both the scriptures, you will see a lot of similarity between both the scriptures. Like Peter and Jude, both of them are speaking of the similar things. Peter and Jude are talking about angels. Both of them are talking about angels. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter number 2 verse 4, if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Here Jude also is talking about angels. Jude verse 6, it says the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for judgment. The same thing both of them are saying. Then Jude says in verse number 8, likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Then Peter says in 2 Peter chapter number 2, in verse number 10, he says, especially those who walk according to the flesh, in the lust of uncleanliness, and despise authority, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. So I don't have time, but when you read Peter and when you read Jude, this scripture, chapter 2 of 2 Peter, and when you read the book of Jude, they are exactly the same. What they are writing, exactly the same. There are many things in that now. I don't have time to show you. And what Jude is writing about is about the agents of Babylon, the agents of devil, who are right sitting with them in their feast. You see, 2 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 13, if you read 13, it says, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who counted pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deception while they feast with you. Jude writes the same thing there. Verse number 12. These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. So These are only few of the similarities I pointed out. But when you read 2 Peter chapter number 2 and the book of Jude, they are writing exactly the same things. And it's not that Jude heard Peter and is copying his sermon or letter, or Peter heard or saw the letter of Jude and copying his letter. Both are speaking from the same spirit. Both are speaking and addressing the congregation from the Spirit of God. From the Spirit of God. And that's why the Spirit of God is giving them the same utterance. And why they are speaking those things? They are speaking those things because the spirits of Abaddon, the fallen angels of Abaddon, have come inside the church. Have come inside the church. And those people who are possessed by the spirits are right there sitting with the church members, sitting with the leaders at that table and feasting. Hallelujah. They are feasting there in the table. That is what he's writing. So where we were looking at Abaddon, which is the prison of fallen angels, and both Peter and Jude are explaining that. Let's look at the explanation of Jude. And Peter says the same thing, but let's look at the explanation of Jude. Jude verse number six. Now, listen to me carefully what Jude is saying here. Jude verse number six. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain. In some versions, it says the angels who did not retain their position, which they were given, their authority, but went outside the circle of their authority, the circle of their position. They did not retain their proper domain. So every angel of heaven has been given a domain. Mostly angels are given domain that you cannot mix with human beings. Angels of God are given domain. You cannot mix with human beings. Your domain is here in the holy place. That is how you, and only by my word, says the Lord, if there is some work, you will communicate messages to human beings or go and fight and all those things. So they are given a circle of domain where they are supposed to operate. And Jude is saying the fallen angels, not fallen angels, they were angels, but they did not keep what? That domain. They went out of their area of operation, and angels who did not keep their proper domain and left their own abode, left their position, left their circle, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. That is Abaddon, where he has kept them. These wicked angels who left their domain, who left their area of operation, and started to operate in something else, which were not the area of their domain. What God has done, he has kept them in Abaddon for the day of judgment. You know what? People on the earth, satanic worshipers, are trying to open Abaddon. Do you know that, people of God? They are trying to open Abaddon. I don't know how many of you know about CERN, which is in Europe. Around Switzerland, and in CERN, it's a laboratory or a scientific research center where they are working on something called as a God particle. Now that place is highly demonic. They worked on a tunnel and all those stuff, and to inaugurate the tunnel, they brought the goat head man, the Baphomet, and did a big ceremony to worship Baphomet, to open and inaugurate those stuff in CERN. I was saying, and some of the people came yesterday in the prayer meeting, I was talking about it. Actors from India, you know, actors, Bollywood actors, not Hollywood. India, the thing is Bollywood. In US, it's Hollywood. So the Bollywood actors, an actor who went to CERN, visited CERN, and came back, he was mysteriously killed, and the police was not allowed to investigate the case. He went along with his manager, and he was a very, very strong man, a good height of around 6'5", 6'6". He was very handsome, very, very young. After he came back from CERN, he was mysteriously killed. And the government and the police closed the case. The fan followers of this man tried to investigate. We want to know who is the killer. So they also did protest on social media. But the government and the police never gave a year to investigate the case. They closed the case. And that happened, that mysterious death happened after he came back from that place, CERN. And in that CERN, they are trying to, they are working on something. And they say, if that is successful, I don't know how much, you can go and research on it on the internet, what they are doing in CERN. And there are exposing videos on CERN of what they are doing, some leaked videos of what they are doing inside of it. And what they are doing is, they are trying to open a portal where they can communicate with beings which are on the other side of the world, which are not even in this world. And they are trying to open a black hole. What satanic worshippers are trying to doing is they are trying to release fallen angels which are imprisoned in Abaddon by God himself. Which Jude is talking about, people of God. Jude is saying the angels who did not retain their proper domain, went outside of their authority. God imprisoned those angels in where? In the bottomless pit, in a place of darkness, and chained them for the judgment. You see, in the book of Revelation, a fallen angel will come with a key and open Abaddon, and the fallen angel of Abaddon will come back. That is what happens when and God will allow it. God is in control. God is going to allow those things to happen. Why? To bring judgment on those who do not have the mark of God and who have the mark of the enemy. Do we see that? So, listen to me. What did I say? Abaddon is the prison of the wicked fallen angels, and that is here in the scripture. Stay with me. Who are these fallen angels who left their proper domain and start to do something else, which was not their area of domain, disobeyed God? Who were these angels? Okay, so the first thing that I explained here is Abaddon is the prison of wicked fallen angels. The next aspect or the next revelation we are going to go into, who are these angels who are arrested and kept in Abaddon by God, that Jude is talking about and that Peter is talking about? Who are these angels that were arrested by God and kept where? In Abaddon. Who are these angels? Those angels are found in Genesis chapter number 6. Let's go there. Genesis. Do you know the book of Hebrews says that you and me were created in the order of the angels? I explained you that in one of the sermons, that you and me, man, was created in the order of angels. So the characteristics with angels were created are the same characteristics implanted in Adam when Adam was created. That is what the book of Hebrews says. Afterward, read it. I don't have time. And some of the characteristics that are similar in us and in angels is appetite. We can eat, and angels can even eat. The second characteristic that is similar, that we can reproduce, even angels can reproduce. But angels are not given the domain to reproduce. Only man is given the domain to reproduce by God. When God created Adam and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the face of the earth. But angels are not given they have the ability to reproduce, but they are restricted to go into that domain of reproduction. And in Genesis chapter number 6, some of the angels decided, we are bored. We are attracted to the daughters of men. We want to have sex with them. And they left their domain and went to have sexual relationships with the women that were on the earth. And those are the angels that were chained and put in Abaddon. Okay, are we understanding until now? Let's go to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Sophia, welcome Sophia. She is Pushpa's daughter and glad to see her for the first time on the meeting. Praise God. Welcome in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 1. Verse number 1. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. The sons of God, the word there is the angels of God. They were the sons of God. So they left that domain. They were restricted. They were not supposed to have sex with men. They were not supposed to have sex with humans, with women. But they left that domain and they went. This is what Jude is talking about. The angels who left their proper domain and they went in an area where it was not allowed for them. They were changed. These are the angels that Jude and Peter are talking about. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, why did God shorten the lifespan of man? Because if God allows a man to live for long, the seed of the serpent will have expression. Because, you know, I told you this, the longer a man lives, the more dangerous he can become. Who is being controlled by a demonic spirit? Because he is carrying out a legacy. He's carrying out a legacy. For example, let me give you an example. Imagine if Hitler would have lived for 700 years. Imagine. He would have continued his wickedness for 700 years. Praise God that God shortened our lifespan, that the wickedness of man will not continue. Are we understanding that? So we should not say, oh, you know what, we could have lived for 800 years, but why did God reduce the lifespan? Because you can be controlled by fallen angels and demonic spirits and carry out that legacy. So God said, let there be a standard rule, 120 years. Let that be their lifespan. Immediately, when did that happen? When the fallen angels started to have sexual intercourse with daughters of men, immediately God was sad. It says the spirit of God, it says, he said, my spirit will not strive with man forever, and his days will be 120 years. Okay, then it says, now listen to this, there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Mighty, something that is associated with Nimrod. Mighty men, the mighty hunter, the mighty men. It's the same words in Hebrew text when you check it out. It's the same words that is used to explain these giants, which was used to explain. Now, Nimrod is not yet here. Nimrod has not come to the picture. He will come after the flood. These are the giants. What are these giants? The giants represent the seed of the serpent, the seed of the fallen angels. Those are the giants. When a fallen angel sleeps with a human woman and there is some, that a child is born, that child is the son of the devil. The child is the seed of the serpent, and the Bible records it. There are the seed of the serpent, and there is, now I don't want to go into the seed, because I've already taken the seed of the serpent and the seed of God and the war between the seed of God and the seed of the serpent. I've already taken those revelations. You can find that on our ministry channel, so you can refer to it. I will not go into that, but that is what happened. So are you understand? I am teaching you the characteristic of this fallen angel who is called by the name Abaddon. So this Abaddon was imprisoned in Abaddon, that is the bottomless pit, because they reproduced. Why? Because why? They reproduced. They left their domain and start to have sexual intercourse with the daughters of men, with women. And that's why they were arrested. Why God was so destined to immediately arrest them? Because if they continued to carry out their sexual activity with the woman, the seed of serpent would have multiplied. These seed of serpent are half human and half animals. They are like giants. You might see conspiracy theories where they will show videos about some CEOs of vaccine companies and such, so-called so forth. When they speak, their throat bloats like a frog, like they boo, 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 boo. Those are facts. Mm-hmm. Those are facts. Frogs, reptilians, a reptilian family, serpentine family. Frogs come under that. Snakes, lizards, crocodiles, and all those stuff. Have you, anyone who has seen Men in Black movie here, Men in Black? Have you seen that movie? Sister Vetonia, you saw that movie? Men in Black?
Yes, I saw that.
You saw that, Princess Sister Knowles. I saw that. I saw that movie, Men in Black. And these movies are not tales or fables. These are realities. They are shooting at your mind to program your mind of what is going to happen. In that, they show that aliens are coming, and those some of the human beings living around us are actually aliens in the skins of humans. And we enjoy that fiction, but that is not fiction, my dear friend. It's predictive programming. That is a part of satanic agendas. Predictive. The COVID-19 that we landed up in, it was already shown exactly in some movie in the 1990, I don't remember, in the 2000 and the 90, exactly they showed what will happen. That COVID-19 thing that we went through. Transhumanism, robots, it's already shown in movies. You can see that. Because the Hollywood is the platform of the beast. Do you know that? Oh God. The people who write the stories, they don't write it by their own minds, by their intelligence. They have to sit at an altar. The producers, the writers of these scripts have to sit at an altar, and they have to invite a spirit to think through them. And then demons, when they start to think through these people, who are the spirits? They are the fallen angels. They are the intelligence of the Abaddon, who think through them. That even the actors who act on the movie, and we love so much, oh, what a great acting. They are in the skin of the character. You know what? They are in the skin of the character because they invited the spirit of the dead to channel through them. And Hollywood are being controlled by fallen angels. That's why if Hollywood movies and if Hollywood wants to rise, they want to consult Abaddon. They want to go to those ancient spirits which were imprisoned. Are we understanding? They want to go to those ancient spirits, the fallen angels which were imprisoned, to seek the wisdom of the dead, to seek the wisdom of Abaddon. Yes, yes. Where I was? I am talking about these fallen angels gave birth to people who were giants. They were half human and half kind of having the characteristics of a beast. You see that? Now, when you read the book of Revelation, it says seven heads and 10 horns. Those horns are human beings. Those horns are human beings. Those heads are mountains. Mountains that signify platforms like the educational and all those stuff. I have already explained that. But those horns are human beings. The beast himself signifies a human being. Who are these human beings? They are the intercourse of the fallen angel and the woman. They are the seed that descended. They are the seed that descended. I have done a lot of research, but mostly I preach and teach from the Bible. I have done a lot of research and I know facts. In Hollywood, all the Hollywood stars, whoever they are, the actors, the actresses, everyone, they are all related. Someone is a fourth cousin to someone, fifth cousin to someone. They all come from the same bloodline. You know, don't believe me, but I'm telling you the fact. They all come from the same bloodline. They all come from the same bloodline. Which bloodline? The bloodline of Abaddon. They come from the bloodline of fallen angels. They are the seed of the serpent. And we say, oh, we have to pray for them. They will not be saved, I am telling you. Don't waste your time for praying for their salvation.
Help us, Lord.
Amen. Don't waste your time. Oh, we need to pray for Bill Gates. I'm not wasting my time to pray for Bill Gates. He needs to be saved. They will never be saved. They will never be. You know, Samuel, if Samuel had to kill Agag, cut him in pieces, but Saul was, no, save him. Let him be kept. But God was angry with Saul. God was angry. So Samuel the prophet came and said, where is Agag? Bring him to me. You have disobeyed Saul. God has taken away the kingdom from you. And bring Agag. Brought Agag, took the sword, cut him before the Lord. Cut him. Why? Agag was the seed of Abaddon. If you let him alive, he will destroy the seed of God on earth. And Christians, we should not be naive. Yeah, we know God is love and all those stuff. But you need to have spiritual discernment. He wants to save his seed. But there is also a seed of the serpent. They came, oh God. Are we understanding? These are the angels. When they started to have sexual intercourse with human beings, they were imprisoned. They were imprisoned and they were put into the bottomless pit. That is what Jude is talking about. Are we understanding Abaddon? Let me come back to the few definitions I told you about Abaddon. I told you one of the definition is, Abaddon is a fallen angel that are responsible to birth the seed of the serpent with mankind. That is one of the definition I told you. So those things are cleared out here. And I told you the second definition was Abaddon is the location, the bottomless pit where God imprisons or arrests and keeps fallen angels and even Satan. Okay, so those are the definition that I'm now proving from the scripture. Okay, so the next thing that we want to look at is Abaddon is the fallen angel that has birthed the system of Babylon. And Abaddon itself is the platform on which Babylon stands. Yes, Abaddon is the platform. We will look at the scripture very quickly. Abaddon is right the platform on which actually Babylon stands. Beloved, turn with me to Revelation chapter number 17. Revelation 17. Revelation 17, verse number 7 to 8. Now, this is very important. Listen to me very carefully. Revelation chapter number 17, verse number 7 to 8. But the angels said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her. Okay. Now, the angel of God is explaining to John, what the mystery of the woman. Now, we know when you read Revelation chapter number 17, the earlier verses, verse number 1 to 6, there is a woman that is sitting on a beast. And the woman is the mystery Babylon, the harlot. Okay. The beast is the beast. Again, similar to the beast in Revelation 13. 7 heads, 10 horns, and all those stuff. What is happening in verse number 6 of 17 is the woman is drunk with the blood of the saints. Remember, I told you in the earlier sermon, that is Ashtoreth, that is Semiramis, that is Babylon wanting the blood of the saints. She wants the blood of the saints. And we see that prophets from the old, from Abel unto Zechariah, they were killed. They were killed. John the Baptist was beheaded. Elijah was going to be killed, but he escaped by the grace of God. God took him. Praise God for that. But again, that Jezebel came for John the Baptist, who was the spirit of Elijah again. So the Abaddon is against the prophet. Remember the two witnesses in the Bible? Have you read about Revelation 11? Two witnesses in the Bible who will come in the power and the spirit of Elijah and Moses, part the Red Sea. If you have read it, but afterwards you can read it. But those two witnesses in the Bible will do signs and wonders for certain days, for certain years. and no one will be able to stand against them. They will have power, and fire will come out of their mouth and destroy the enemy. Such power. They will be killed by Abaddon, it says. They will be killed by Abaddon. Okay, let me take you Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse number 4. Okay, verse number 4. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. Wow. And they have the power over waters to turn them to blood. That is one of the things Moses did, one of the things Elijah did, and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Great power they have, these prophets, two witnesses. And some of the things they will do is what Moses and Elijah did. So they come in the spirit of the power of Moses and Elijah. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, who were the two people with Jesus talking? Moses and Elijah. Why? Their anointing will manifest in the end times. Yes, these are the two witnesses. Let's see verse number 7 of Revelation 11. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, Abaddon. You see that? That is the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit, will make war against them, overcome them, and what? Kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the people, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. Okay. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry and send gift to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Wow. And it says, now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. I'm not going into detail in Revelation chapter number 11, but I'm trying to show you Abaddon is the platform on which the harlot sits. Remember, Elijah was being pursued to be killed by Jezebel. That Jezebel is the spirit of the harlot. Wanted to kill Elijah, but Elijah ascended to God. Then the spirit of Elijah, because Jesus himself says in the scripture, do you know who is John? Jesus said, if you want to believe, he is the Elijah to come. Jesus said to the people in the scripture. So this Elijah, again, the Jezebel, that is the wife of Herod, came and had him beheaded, killed, took his blood, the blood of John. And then here in this scripture, the people who will come in the spirit of Elijah will again be killed by this Abaddon. So the spirit of Abaddon hate people who operate in the anointing of Moses and Elijah. Are we understanding? They want to kill them and want to take the blood. Because I told you, I don't have to, because blood can open demonic portals. Do you know that? Remember the blood of Jesus when Jesus died on the cross, as soon as he yielded up his spirit, the Bible says the earth, there was an earthquake and the veil of the temple, a portal was broken. So I don't have time to show you all those things, but blood can open spiritual portals. And that's why you see in the book of Revelation chapter number 17, that the harlot sitting on the beast, that is the Abaddon beast, has drank the blood of the saints, of the martyrs. People of God, are you there? Yeah, say amen, hallelujah, then we will continue. Wow.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Stay with me. And amen. Then Revelation 17. Amen. Revelation 17. Verse number 7. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend. Okay, there is an expression there that you need to pay attention to. The beast you saw was and is not and will be. You saw was and is not and will be. Okay, let me go ahead and I will tell you about that. And will ascend out of where? Out of the bottomless pit. Who is the king of the bottomless pit? The angel Abaddon. This is Abaddon coming out of the pit. Will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel. Why they will marvel? Whose name are not in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they see the beast, that is why they will marvel. When they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. What is that? There is a similar expression that is used to describe Jesus in Revelation. Turn with me. Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 8. This is what Jesus is speaking, introducing himself. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come. Here, what is the beast? The beast is who was and is not and yet is. There is a similar expression, but it does not matches up with what Jesus is. Jesus is who was and who even is and who is to come. But the beast is who was and was not and yet is. That means who was an angel of God and then he was thrown off. He was not, but yet he wants to become, yet is. But Jesus was forever the king who was and who is. That hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Then the second thing about it is he wants to mimic something by saying who was, who is not, and who yet is. He wants to mimic that he was killed and then he rose again. That is what he wants to mimic. And that's why I taught you about Tammuz, about Nimrod, about the wife Semiramis, about the false resurrection they wanted to carry. Okay, I promised and I told in the last meeting, I'm going to do a documentary about it, about those stuff. So I may need some weeks or months and then I will, I have already gathered my content to show people and then I will introduce that documentary where I will also expose the second beast, that is the Catholic Church, the Vatican City. So I'm going to expose because a lot of things that you go in the Catholic Church and some of you may be ignorant or something and you see idols of the dead. And yesterday we were speaking, we had a question and answer session in our prayer meeting and people were asking and someone said about a bishop, Mari, who was stabbed in Australia. And many of them follow that bishop because he exposes Islam and he exposes some Hollywood stars and all those stuff. But as soon as he was stabbed, around 100 YouTube channels started to cast him on their channel. This is what happened with this. And when you see a topic trending on social media, there are 99.99% chances that it's sorcery. Because sorceries take trends into consideration and carry out their sorcery. If any top sorcerers become servants of God and become known to be servants of God through trending topics, through acting. And some of them were saying, oh, he exposes this, exposes that. Why doesn't he expose himself? Because he preaches by carrying a cross. And that cross is not the cross of Jesus. It is having a sun in between. Why there is a sun on the cross? Have you seen the Catholic cross? There is a sun in between the cross. What does the sun signify? It signifies that the rays of Nimrod, that is the sun god, resurrected the Tammuz. That is the cross of Tammuz, actually. There is no sun on the cross of Jesus Christ. The sun did not resurrected Jesus Christ, but the Bible says the Spirit of God resurrected Jesus. Are we understanding? So there are false resurrection happenings. And then he wears all those Nazi cross. And then there are all the pictures of the dead saints behind his pulpit and all those stuff. So I am saying, if you are exposing Islam and exposing this religion, that religion, why don't you get rid of your own traditions that you are keeping on your pulpit? when you are exposing others, get rid of the scandalism and believe what is, because the Bible says clearly, do not make of me a graven image, neither worship or an idol and worship that, because I am a God who is in spirit and in truth. So there is a lot of deception going on, and some of them are some of them who believe, who are believers, who are they are righteous followers of that bishop. Righteously they follow that bishop. I don't know why. They don't have the eyes to see. Are we understanding that? So there are trends that is happening. In US, something happened where a pastor, I don't want to take his name, I used to listen to him. He exposed some stripper, male stripper, in a men's conference and so on and so forth. And as soon as he did that, and the pastor who hosted asked him to leave the stage, that topic went trending. As soon as that happened, within 2 days, around 100 pastors who are on the YouTube and YouTube channel started to post, oh, this pastor, this happened, this pastor. Whenever that happens, that is a part of sorcery. Trending topics. Because God does not elevate his servants through the trends of men. He elevates and advertises his own real servants through the Holy Spirit. They may be in the wilderness. Are we understanding that? So anyone trending on YouTube, oh, there are 1,000 followers, there are million followers this prophet has, does not make him a true servant of God.
No.
Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Sorcerers. Sorcerers want to get into trend. Remember Simon the sorcerer in Samaria? He was deceiving the village by the power of the devil, by doing signs and wonders. But when Philip came, the trend followed Philip. These people started to like Philip. Then he said, I want to get into the trend. So Philip, baptized me also. I want to also be a believer. And then he baptized. He was baptized. He became a believer. He started to become a disciple of Philip because he wants to get into the trend. Now the trending topic is Jesus. So let me become a servant of Jesus. But when the apostles came, Peter and John, they were laying hands and people were receiving the Holy Spirit. This guy came and gave them money because he was not able to receive the Spirit of God. Gave them money. Take this money. I also want that power. And Peter said, there is bitterness in your heart. Your heart is darkened with darkness. Let your money perish with you. So then his sorcery was exposed. Why he was doing that? He wants to get into the trend. He is not a servant of God, but he can act as a servant of God. Those bishops can, yes, actors, and they can speak as an apostle, exposing this, exposing that, and they can speak like me, mimic my teaching, and become
very good.
And they will speak like me, but they are not the servants of God. They are acting like servants of God. They are sorcerers. Any which way, I have spoken about sorcery a lot when I was talking about the system of Babylon. Because Babylon captivates the souls of men through the tool of sorcery. Through the tool of sorcery. And those things, those people you see there, they are the agents of Babylon, by the way. Any which ways, where I was? I was, okay, Revelation chapter number 17. Who was and is not and yet is. Who was, so he is mimicking Jesus who died on the cross and then he rose again. That is the expression Abaddon is using. That is the expression Abaddon, oh God, is using. And one of the things that the scripture says, not everyone will be deceived, but those whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation, they will marvel, they will be amazed, they will be awestruck. You know why? Because they will see a miracle, a sign, a wonder happening before their own eyes, that a beast who was deadly wounded is coming back to life, is coming back to life. That's why it's very necessary to expose Tammuz, to expose Christmas, to expose Easter, to expose Lent, because those are the practices through which they will introduce a new resurrection. Yes. Those are the practices. Anyone can prove me from the Bible that Jesus was born on 25th December? No, Jesus was not born on 25th December. Why we are celebrating? We are celebrating because we are going with the flow of the world. The world is celebrating. We are celebrating. We are putting Christmas tree. We are bringing present under the Christmas tree. We are bringing Santa Claus. All those things are ritual practices to raise and communicate with Abaddon, communicate with the dead. Those are ritual practices. Why we are doing that? It's not in the scripture. Some lady pastor came and said, you know, we are celebrating Christmas, and we put the tree in our house. There is a reason behind it, because the tree signifies the cross of Jesus Christ on which he died. Where did she get that? And you know, there are people on Instagram, Facebook, or whatever, wherever she is preaching, thousands of people are shouting, amen, amen, yes. Yes, pastor, yes, woman of God, yes, prophetess, you are true, preach it. My God, I don't know what happened. There is a great falling away. There is a great falling away. Christmas, was Jesus hanged on a pine tree? Don't joke with me. Jesus was not even hanged on a pine tree. Tammuz is the God, shepherd God. He's the God considered as the God of vegetation. And you know, Christmas is done during December, which is a winter season, where vegetation completely dries off. And their belief is, we store up, you know, in US, you store up the food before the winter. You do that, right? Because winter, you will not get any crops, any food. That's why you store up. And they say the crops dry up during winter because Tammuz went into the underworld and he is no more on the earth. And we need to bring him back. Those are the facts I'm telling you. Those are the pagan worship things. You can do your own research. So these are the things. They are creating a religion, a Babylonian Christianity that looks exactly similar to our Christianity, to what we do. Are we understanding? To the resurrection, everything is mimicked. Who was and was not and yet is the Abaddon spirit. But tonight he is getting exposed in Jesus' name. Tonight that spirit is getting exposed in Jesus' name. So where is Babylon sitting? On Abaddon. The beast is Abaddon, the angel of the bottomless pit, and Babylon, the harlot, is sitting on this beast. So that is what I said. Abaddon is the platform for Babylon to be built. Abaddon is the platform for Babylon to be built. So if the Tower of Babel that wants to reach its height to heaven, to the throne of God, if they are building it, the foundation is the spirit of Abaddon, is the angel of Abaddon, is the location called Abaddon. The foundation, the roots of it, the pillars that go under the ground is going, and Abaddon, the bottomless pit, is holding the system of Babylon, which wants to reach its height to the throne of God. Let's turn with me. I want to take you to Nimrod again. That was the start of Babel. It's very important. You got to do a lot of study, meditate, hear from the Holy Spirit, do a lot of research on Nimrod. Go and do it, I would encourage. Go and see who was Nimrod, who was the wife I was talking about. Go and do those research. Because that was the start of Babylon again, after the flood. Why did God destroy mankind? Because the angels of God, he imprisoned the angels, destroyed the seed. And he thought, Noah, his family, from that I will the earth. But again, you know, the devil entered through the curse of Noah. Noah got angry. He cursed Ham. He cursed Canaan. And from Ham begot Cush, and Cush begot Nimrod. Okay? Through, you know, demonic spirit and fallen angels and spirit of Abaddon can have an open door when we utter curses. When we curse people, we don't curse people, by the way. The Bible even says that those who curse you, you bless them. Never curse anyone. Yes. Never curse anyone. Oh, you did to me like this. This will be. Never utter a curse, because this fallen angels, the spirits and the powers of Abaddon can find expression through a curse to get into the lives of men. That's why we don't curse. Yesterday we were praying, and I saw so clearly that some of the relatives, some of the people in your acquaintances are cursing you. People, you know, some people, just when they think about you, They are instigated by spirits to curse you, to say negative things about you. Has it happened to you before you were in Christ, or even after you were in Christ? When you think about a person who hurted you, maybe, who did a lot of wrong to you, when you think about the person, you always tend to, oh, he is like this, he should not prosper. Curses come out of your heart. It is not coming out. There is a spirit involved. There is a spirit involved. So in the same way, some people who hold you in your mind, when they think about you, the bitterness comes, and through the bitter spirit, they start to curse you. Oh, this woman, oh, she should not, she did this with me. And in their mind and in their secret place, they curse you.
True. So true.
Yes. They start to curse you. And those curses can affect, and that's why we have to, the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you shall be condemned. So you have to constantly use scriptures. Sometimes God will alarm your spirit man. Someone is sending spells against you. Sometimes you will be in some symptoms. Your mind will be down. You will be depressed. And you have to ask God, God, why? Something is wrong in the spirit realm. What is the reason? And God will show you the reason. Yes, sometimes you have to be alert in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are we understanding? So Noah cursed. I don't want to go into that. I have already explained those stuff.
You're preaching.
Amen. So I have already explained those things about Noah cursed. He cursed Ham. He cursed Canaan. And God, and the devil can even use a successful servant of God to carry out his work. Because Noah was a successful servant of God. He was righteous. And because of him, his family was taken out of the flood destruction. He was a builder of altar. He knew God. And the devil can even use his mouth. And I am telling you, if you are a servant of God, if you serve God, you are faithful to God, there is power in your mouth. And that power can be misused by the devil. The power can be misused by the devil. By bringing a curse, sometimes you can be so angry. I always tell people, don't in anger, don't curse your children, however they are behaving. But shut up your mouth before you want to curse your children. Sometimes I have seen people cursing their children so badly with bad words. Don't curse, because there is power in your mouth, and there are spirits that are instigating you to say those stuff out of your mouth. Don't curse them. Okay. Any which ways. That is the operation of a curse, but I cannot explain in detail. We don't have time. But through that curse, he entered the bloodline of Noah in Ham's bloodline. Ham begot Cush, Cush begot Nimrod. And Nimrod, the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 10, started to be a mighty hunter before the Lord. I told you the Hebrew, when you see the Hebrew text, the word for the mighty hunter before the Lord is a personality, a person which is in opposition to God, facing off the Lord. So he was fighting with God. What he was fighting with God? When you do a little bit of research about Nimrod, much things are not said. Now, Nimrod is not born, is not existing after a long time after the flood. The flood has just ended. The flood which destroyed mankind has just ended. And Nimrod is like, you know what? If you are on my side, I will save you from this cruel God who destroys you with the flood. He cannot destroy you again with the flood. So let us build a tower that reaches its heights unto heaven. So if next time God has to destroy mankind with the flood, even his own throne has to be destroyed with the flood, because we are going to make a tower. Okay, let me explain. Let's say this is the earth. This is the earth. This is the realm of the earth. Okay. All the birds can fly up to this, and the beast and everything is, and the human beings are here. So when the flood came, it came at a level till here. So everything that was living was destroyed. Okay. Everything that was living was destroyed. So now this is the plan of Nimrod. Nimrod is instigating people to build Babylon, to build the Tower of Babel, whose heights reaches beyond the level of the flood. reaches beyond the level of the flood. And let's say this is the third heaven. This is the third heaven. The screen is small. I'm not able to show you. Let's say this is the third heaven. Consider. And here is the throne of God. Here is the throne of God. So Nimrod wants a tower that reaches its height up to the throne of God, where God sits at the equal height. So he wants people to know that if God cannot send a flood now, because we will go at the same position with God. If God has to send a flood to destroy you, he has to wipe away his own throne also. That is how wicked he was. People of God, did you understand that example? Hallelujah. Say amen.
Yes, amen, amen.
That is Nimrod, wicked, amen. Wicked. That is how wicked he was. He was instigating people. He was raising up a rebellious generation. That is the Tower of Babel. So God, when the Tower of Babel was getting constructed, the Bible says God had to leave his throne and come down to see what they were doing. To see what they were doing. The Bible never talks about God leaving his place and coming down. But when they were building the Babel, the Bible says he left and come down among to see what they were doing. That was serious. And he saw that their heart was united in one purpose. So you know what that does that mean? If God wouldn't have stopped them, they would have become successful to do that. So God saw, confused them, scattered them. Tonight we speak confusion in the camp of the enemy in Jesus' name. That those who are building Babylon will be scattered in Jesus' name. No one can dethrone God. No one can dethrone God. That is how wicked Nimrod's idea was. You know, then the history records that Nimrod was killed. There are speculation on how he was killed. We can't say that, but he was killed. But Semiramis was also said to be his own mother, whom he married, actually. So Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod now, said, Nimrod did not die. She started to tell the people, because Nimrod was mighty. He had powers. Nimrod did not die. He became the sun god. And Semiramis bore someone called Tammuz. And Tammuz was not through sex. It is believed that she had sex with other priests in the altar. And it was not through Nimrod. But she said, oh no, the sun god Nimrod made the sun rays, the power of the sun god Nimrod made my womb fertile to give birth to Tammuz. So Tammuz is a supernatural avatar of the sun god Nimrod that was born. That is all mimicking stories, mimicry, pagan relationships, pagan stories and conspiracy theories, which is not at all true actually. But this is the building. When Nimrod was unsuccessful for building that tower, Satan, Abaddon, found another way to bring deception and to come against God. This is the beast. This is Lucifer himself. This is Abaddon, which is giving power to people like Nimrod to build the Tower of Babel. So let's come to the conclusion that Abaddon is the platform on which Babylon is founded. The spirit, the fallen angel, the power that is responsible to build Babylon. And Babylon is still being constructed. But Babylon will fall in our time and season. The spiritual Babylon. It's being constructed. It's the false religion. It's the mimicking of the Christian religion. The counterfeit of the Christian religion, where people are being deceived. The church is divided into two major categories. One church is being Babylonized by the spirit of Babylon, and one part of the church is still true to Jesus Christ. Now, this part of the church, which is still true to Jesus Christ, will also be attacked with the offers of Babylonian agents, because the Babylonian agents will tell this church, oh, Apostle Rahul, you know, you have so few people. Your ministry has to be big like those mega preachers. Can you collaborate with us? Those are the offers which can come to the true church. Offers of fame, offers of money. I got those offers physically and also in the dream realm. I have got a lot of offers from Babylon, but I retain my position as a servant of God to prepare the bride of Christ for his second coming. I retain that position. I don't want the fame and the money and whatever that comes from Babylon. Are we understanding that? So Babylon is still interested to corrupt the church. Once there is no Christian on earth that truly worships Jesus, but everyone is covenanted with Babylon, there will be no restrictions for Babylon and for the devil whatsoever, for Abaddon whatsoever. There will be no restrictions for them. They can carry out, but it shall not happen until I am living and the servants of God who do not bow down to Babylon are living on this earth. We will not allow Abaddon to take over. And Abaddon will remain as a place which is the prison of fallen angels in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Are we understanding?
Amen.
So. Then the last point I want to tell you is Abaddon works in the limitation of God. Yes. Abaddon can do nothing if God restricts them from doing those things. It works in the limitation of God. For example, Exodus chapter number 12, verse 23. Exodus chapter number 12, verse 23. You can read it afterwards, but the Bible says when the destroyer sees the blood, the destroyer is the spirit from Abaddon. When the destroyer sees the blood, it shall pass over you and it shall go to the firstborn in Egypt and kill them. So Abaddon cannot work on people who are covered in the blood, who have the mark of the blood, mark of God on their foreheads. That's why, remember, Revelation chapter 9 says the spirit of Abaddon was loosed from Abaddon and it started to persecute people who did not have the mark of God on their foreheads. So Abaddon has its limitation. It cannot overpower a person, cannot torment a person who has the mark of God on their forehead. Are we understanding? Even in Revelation chapter number 17 that we read, it says those whose name was not in the book of life of the Lamb of God from the foundation, they were the one who were deceived by the beast, that is the Abaddon. So Abaddon has limitations. That's why God wants you to come under his covering so that you can come against this Abaddon. Hallelujah. So let me come back to the definitions I told you and let me reiterate, and now the definitions will be clear. The first definition of Abaddon I told you, Abaddon is the fallen angel that births Babylon and is the platform on which Babylon the harlot is founded. That is clear. Abaddon is the location, the second definition. Abaddon is the location, the bottomless pit, where God arrests and keeps fallen angels and even Satan. The third definition, the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation 13, is the offspring or the son of Abaddon. I did not explain this, so let me, there is only one verse to explain this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Antichrist is the son of Abaddon, is the offspring of destruction. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 1 to 3. 1 to 3. For you yourself know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. Okay, sorry. I think it's 2 Thessalonians, yes. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 1 to 3. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. In some version, the son of perdition is the son of Abaddon, because Abaddon will go and do perdition. He's the son of Abaddon, the Antichrist. What does that mean? It is someone from the bloodline of the fallen angels. It is someone from the bloodline, the seed of the serpent, the offspring. Okay, that was the third definition. The fourth definition was the fallen angel of Abaddon is a destroying spirit which wants blood but can only operate in the limitation that God set over them. That is already explained. And the next definition, the fifth one, is Abaddon, the fallen angel, is responsible to birth the seed of serpent with mankind. So this is what is the Bible talks about Abaddon, the angel of the bottomless pit, the location which is the bottomless pit, Abaddon. And in our day and time, satanic worshippers are trying to bring the wicked spirits. Remember how wicked Nimrod was? Such kind of wicked spirits. Remember when the angel of the bottomless pit is released in Revelation chapter 9, it says there that men will be tormented, but they will not die. They will search for death, but they will not die. Those who don't have the mark of God. Remember, Hitler had concentration camps. And the way he annihilated the Jews was not instant death. He used to feed them with poison, slow poisoned bread and water, and make them work. By the way, Hitler, the spirit that operated in Hitler, was a wicked spirit from Abaddon. Wicked spirit. And if we don't pray against the satanic rituals and the satanic priesthood, they will continue to open portals and bring wicked spirits to cause nuisance on the face of the earth. The Bible says, Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And people of God, we need to realize our responsibility. We need to build ourselves in the word and prayer. We have an assignment. Apart from you coming to God, God, I want a breakthrough. God will give you all those things. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and all the other things, and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. So I am telling you, people of God, I have always told you, you are not an average believer. You are called by God to be a prayer warrior. And there are so many things we need to address that is happening on the face of the earth. And if the saints of God don't pray, the spirits of Abaddon will start to dominate the earth. Wicked spirits of the ancient, they are coming back. Wickedness of the ancient days are coming back that you see in the Bible. Annihilation, stories, scary stories about Hitler that you heard. Those things happen because Abaddon got a way to function on the face of the earth. But we pray tonight, hallelujah. We pray tonight that Abaddon will be there where it is in Jesus' mighty name. And we come against every Araboko Yampranto Kopa. E parama nukofa zita rabanda. Meka ravola vizata yavrenda. Ravanako zabano fo diande rezatiyama. Embrendo la vize ke rava la dayarapa. Manzofo rabababo. Lord, let not the spirit of the world weaken the spirit man of Christians, your Lord. Lord, revive them in Jesus' mighty name. Revive their hearts and minds in Jesus' mighty name, that they will not be weakened or dominated by the powers of darkness, but they will arise, Lord. Oh, rebamba yambranto ko rabanzi yantaraba. Eh, rebababa rabalahal zebandaraba. And use the revelation of your word in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The tools of prayer, Lord. The weapons that we have are mighty and not carnal. And we bind every spirit, Lord. We bind every activities that they are doing to open Abaddon in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray against the realm of the dead. Any spirits of control over the lives of people sitting here that are coming from the realm of the dead, that are coming from the necromancy, that are coming from Abaddon. Oh, in Jesus' name, I break the hold. Even as Abaddon is exposed, I break the hold. Because the Bible says those who have the mark of God, those who are covered in the blood, Abaddon cannot torment them. And people of God, I encourage you to come in the covering of God, to come quickly under the wings of the Most High, to run quickly in the secret place, to run quickly to Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, where you will be safe and where you will be protected and where you can function, oh, in power of the Lord, in the anointing to dominate Abaddon, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, I want to thank you for this time, Lord. Lord, I pray that do not, oh Lord, cast us away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from us, oh Lord, but restore unto us the joy of our salvation. And Lord, renew our spirits, Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight I pray that, Lord, that you will continue to speak to us. It's only your mercy that you are teaching this word, and this word is more precious than any wealth or mammon or gold or silver of this earth. Hallelujah. We want to thank you, Lord. Father, Lord, I pray that you will be merciful and gracious enough to us, Lord, and this group, that you will continue to speak, Lord. Continue to speak and take us into the depths of revelation of your word. Oh, Lord, which is a threat to the kingdom of the enemy. It is only when you are merciful and gracious can we receive your word, Lord. I know that, Lord. I know that, Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to humble myself. And I ask you, Lord, that any blemish in this group, Lord, any disobedience that has displeased you, forgive us for that and cleanse us, Lord. Lord, if you have to write a letter to this group, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that we will be faithful, found faithful in that letter, Lord, that no one will be, Lord, found, Lord, disqualified, Lord. That is how, Lord, I ask you that every person in the group should be, Lord. Lord, Apostle Paul said, I strive and labor to present every man perfect before Christ. And that is what you have given me the job, Lord, and including my own self, Lord. Help us, Lord, to understand the seriousness of this time and season and of the ministry that you have given us. It's a privilege, and help us to take it, Lord, seriously and responsibly. Lord, every person here, you have called them. I know it. Lord, let them know it, Lord, and let them take their position as in their call, Lord, in their anointing, Lord, and work in your kingdom, Lord. Serve you selflessly in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask this prayer. Amen. People of God.
Amen. Amen.
Let's shout amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.